The Lord be with you.
And
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
And he told them a parable to the effect that they should always pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor regarded man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, vindicate me against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will vindicate her, or she will wear me out by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God vindicate his elect, who cry out to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will vindicate them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? The Gospel of the Lord. Let's take a moment and ask the Lord to send the Holy Spirit upon each of us that we may be open to the grace that he wishes to give us this evening, that I may say the words that he wishes me to say, that each of us may hear the words that God wishes us to hear. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The topic for this evening, as is promoted, a time of renewal, is a rather broad topic, and I suppose very appropriate for our time of Lent, that this is a time of spiritual renewal for us. That in our spiritual lives throughout the course of a year, it's very easy for us to become distracted in our prayer. It's easy for us to be weighed down by the cares and the anxieties of daily life, that there are so many things that happen in our lives, and many of them good, right? I'm not running it all down. There's a lot of responsibilities that we face. If we're a student, we have the responsibilities to study and prepare by doing homework and preparing for tests and paying attention in class. If we are working in a job, we have the responsibilities of job, doing a fair day's work for a fair day's pay, or at least striving for that, right? People who are full-time working in their home, there's no such thing as a non-working mother, right? If it's full-time in the home, there's the responsibilities of children or grandchildren or spouses or whatever. There's a lot of busyness in our lives, and it can wear us out. And that can crowd out the importance of our spiritual life. And so Lent, in the church's view of this incredibly holy season, is a time for us to refocus on our spiritual life, our time in daily prayer, the sacraments, particularly the sacrament of confession, the devotional life of the church, stations of the cross. This is an important opportunity. And now we find ourselves about 2 weeks or so into this. And so maybe we're at a point where we're starting to struggle with some of our Lenten resolutions. Maybe we haven't been as successful as we've wanted. Maybe we've been successful, but it's taking a little bit more work than we anticipated. Whatever it may be, we have to persevere. And that is the main theme of this parable that Jesus speaks about, is perseverance. That this widow is annoying the judge until the judge gives a proper judgment. The widow, knowing that eventually she can wear him down, and he knows that eventually she'll wear him down. Now, where this analogy doesn't work is that I don't think that God becomes annoyed by our prayers. I don't think that God becomes annoyed by our perseverance. I think he actually is very pleased by our perseverance. And this Lenten season of renewal, maybe a little bit even more precisely, could be about this idea of perseverance, that saints are made in their perseverance, that when we read the stories of the lives of the saints, we're seeing in many ways in those stories the finished product. It's hard for us to see, especially in short summaries of the lives of the saints, the struggles that they went through. Now, there are some saints whose struggles are well known and they're easily talked about. St. John of the Cross was imprisoned by his religious superiors. That's part of the story that's told. Well, okay, if I was imprisoned by my religious superiors, that'd be a very clear struggle, probably kind of a little bit more easy to embrace, right? Because it's so clear, it's obviously a persecution. And as far as I know, the Archdiocese of Indianapolis does not have prison cells, so I'm pretty safe on that one. We know that St. John Vianney had struggles. We know that he was tormented by a demon. And we can know that part of the story and we'd be like, well, you know, he was so holy that that's what happened. But what about the simpler struggles in life? And it seems to me, in many respects, when we look at the stories of the lives of the saints, intentionally or unintentionally, and maybe sometimes both, the normal human struggles of life seem to be a little bit whitewashed out of their lives. And it can sometimes be a little bit difficult to relate to them. After all, we don't really hear the stories of, say, a married couple who had to struggle with the little squabbles that come up between spouses. We don't really hear that splashed across the pages of Butler's Lives of the Saints. We don't necessarily hear the story of a saint who would have struggled with something that might have been rather embarrassing. And we don't read about those, and it might be something that we struggle with in our own life, and it's something that we think, well, they became saints because they didn't have to worry about that at all. But recently, I discovered the life of a saint that I had never heard of before. And I admit I'm a little bit ill-prepared to speak about his story because I actually don't know very much about it, and his story is only starting to become known, and some of you may have heard of him, and honestly, I don't even know how to pronounce his last name. His name is Saint Mark. The Mark part's pretty easy. It's his Christian name. But his last name is... And he's... Okay, listen, I'll spell it and you understand why I struggle with this. TIANXIANG. See? Don't judge. It's not even Polish. I went to seminary in Chicago. I'd have a fighting chance with a Polish name. So this saint, Saint Mark, a story that I've just become acquainted to. He was a Christian convert. And one of the things that he struggled with in his life was an addiction to opiates. Isn't that interesting? This is like 100 years ago plus. And that's one of the big challenges that's facing our country today is the opiate addiction. But this man struggled with an addiction to opiates. And he became Christian. But his addiction and his struggle with it did not immediately go away. And while he continued to struggle with it, he continued to pray. He went to confession. He sought spiritual direction. He would make a firm purpose of amendment. And then he would fall again. And then he would wrestle with it, go to confession, seek spiritual guidance. And this cycle continued. But his story of his struggle with his addiction became well known in his town. And the priests that were responsible for the spiritual care of that town were very concerned that this man, a notable convert to Christianity, was struggling with this addiction. It was very public. And so they accused him of giving scandal to other people, that there would be other people who wouldn't convert to Christianity if they knew that this man became a Christian and was still struggling with this addiction. Well, it got to the point where the priests in that village even began to refuse to give him absolution because they didn't believe that he was serious in his firm purpose of amendment. Being refused absolution meant that he was unable to receive Holy Communion. And as crushing as that was to this Christian convert, he continued to pray and he continued to go to Mass faithfully. For the last 30 years of his life, he went to Mass unable to receive Holy Communion and being denied absolution. And then he died. But the church, in her wisdom, looking at his life, saw the incredible perseverance that he had in prayer and placing himself in the Lord's presence, and saw heroic virtue in his life. And with a little dash of more modern psychology to understand the role of addictions, Saul threw his opiate addiction to something much richer in his life. And he was canonized a saint. The messiness of his life is part of his story. It cannot be whitewashed out. And there's some solace that we can find in knowing his story. But what shines through in this is not the struggle that he had, but the perseverance, the trust in God's incredible love and care for him. Now, would the story perhaps be better if he had overcome his addiction? Sure. But would we know who he is? And God's providential plan, did somehow it unfold in this specific way for his salvation and perhaps to aid us in ours? His sins could not be hidden or whitewashed. And try as hard as we may with our own sins to hide them away, God sees them and knows them. And he does want us to persevere in our prayer. Yes, to work to overcome our faults and failings and sin. Yes, absolutely. But even in the midst of that battle, to continue to turn to him in prayer, to deepen our relationship with him, to know Christ Jesus, to know that his love for us is perfect and infinite. And we don't have to wait until we've reached some sort of perfect ideal in our own mind to say, well, once I'm better, then I'll be able to love Jesus and he'll be able to love me. No, he's calling for that today. He's calling for you to give your life to him today, to desire to be a saint today. St. Mark shows us that. He didn't put off his relationship with Jesus until he was healed of an opiate addiction. He died an addict. If he would have waited to have his addiction healed, then his relationship with the Lord would never have taken root, and he would not be a saint. What St. Mark teaches us, perhaps more than anything else, is that even in the midst of the struggle and the battle and the feeling of rejection from the priest who lived and cared for the villagers in that town, even in the midst of all that, he knew that he was called to have a relationship with Christ that very day. And that became who he was. And the church saw that and is raised into the glory of the altar, canonized him a saint because of that way of life. And that's the way of life that we are being called to. And I know I've said this before, and I'll say it again. We live in very challenging times. Culturally, we live in a time that is incredibly anti-God, anti-Catholic, anti-Christian. We live in a time where it is, if we weren't so anesthetized to it, we would be scandalized by the way things are in the world. But unfortunately, we grow too accustomed to it. We know abortion is bad. We're not horrified by it. We know that all kinds of other moral problems exist in the world, and we lose our horror to it. We know the widespread use and addiction to pornography, but we're not horrified by it. Because we've been in the milieu for too long, it's sort of become sort of just, well, that's just the way things are. But not only do we live in such a deeply anti-God, anti-Christian, anti-Catholic, anti-goodness world, we also live in a very uncertain time. And we don't know what the future holds. Certainly living through the last few years where we have had many things that we haven't understood or appreciated or had been outright lied to about, the uncertainty only seems to be compounded. Where there's financial and political and societal instability, where we face a closer prospect of a world war than perhaps ever since the Cuban Missile Crisis, perhaps even longer, where the mainstream media is screaming about hundreds of people who have been killed in Ukraine, but thousands of people have been killed in Yemen, and we never hear about it, that the uncertainty and violence that faces this world is appalling to God, and his vindication of those souls that have been killed cannot be far off. How are we to respond to this? By doing the exact same thing that we should be doing, whether or not this is going on. By being disciples of the Lord. By persevering like St. Mark did in prayer and his relationship with Christ. Placing ourselves in the presence of the Lord in the Eucharist, reconciling with the Lord in the sacrament of confession, following Our Lady of Fatima's directive of faithfulness to that sacrament of confession, of recognizing and honoring her on first Saturdays, by faithful recitation of the rosary. Heaven has given us a peace plan. A peace plan that transforms our hearts, that reconciles our souls to the Lord. This time of Lent is about a time of regaining a sense of our own spiritual life, to persevere above all. And perseverance is perhaps the hardest of the Christian virtues. Jesus says very clearly, when the Son of Man comes, and it feels like that might be sooner rather than later these days, will he find faith on earth? I sure hope so. I hope he finds it in my soul and in yours. I hope that we have the grace of perseverance. Perseverance to be faithful in our prayer. Perseverance of fidelity in the sacraments. Perseverance in our growth in virtue and overcoming sin, to hold on to our holy Catholic faith that has been passed on for 2 millennia and does not change, but continues to guide men to that North Star, the risen Son, Christ Jesus. That as long as we have our Catholic faith and we persevere in our relationship with the Lord Jesus, then nothing should shake us. Nothing should give us doubt or fear or worry or anxiety. But when those moments come, we turn back to the Lord. And we place our trust even more each day in what the Lord has given us. Our Catholic faith, our baptism in the Lord, our sacraments that unite us to him, the Holy Scriptures that give us his life, A life of meditation on Scripture and contemplation of the mysteries of Christ's work for us. These are the things that we need now more than ever. But ultimately, it's going to be perseverance that decides whether we stay faithful or not. It is perseverance that wins the fight in the end. And St. Mark remained persevering in his belief in the Lord Jesus, even in the spite of his struggles and rejection, and his perseverance won him canonization, and more importantly, eternal life with God in heaven. May we be so lucky as to be like St. Mark, that our perseverance brings us that great gift of eternal life. Jesus asks, "When the Son of Man returns, will you find faith on earth?" Let our lives answer that question for him. "Yes, Lord, here I am. Yes, Lord, I've kept the faith. I've run the race," as St. Paul says. "Yes, Lord, we will continue to be a light in a darkened world. Yes, Lord, we will keep the faith."